Welcome to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. We pray that this message will strengthen and encourage you.
Before I give you the title of my message tonight, go with me to Matthew chapter 18. We're going to look at verses 21 through 22. Then Peter came to him and said, "Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me?" Now, I love this because Peter poses this question because Peter thinks in his mind that he's doing something generous by asking God how many times I should forgive somebody. Like, who do you think you are, Peter, first of all, to go to Jesus and be like, do I really need to forgive? Or if I do need to forgive, how many times do I have to forgive? Now, what I want you to understand something is in the Jewish culture and in the culture back then, the number was three times. In their mind, it was three. But to Jesus, that's not what he replies with. Let's take a look at the scripture and see what he does. He says, then Peter came to him and said, "Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me? And I forgive him. Up to seven times?" In other words, only seven times? Now, I can ask this question right now. I'm going to ask it, but you don't got to raise your hand. How many of you have known without a doubt that you've had a hard time forgiving? One or two, up to seven times might seem kind of hard for you. Anybody know what I'm talking about, right? Most of our hands are going up like, one time, that's it. One and I'm done. I don't want to keep forgiving people. But yet Jesus responds with something. And what he responds with, it just caught my attention. And what Jesus says is this. Jesus said to him, meaning he's talking to Peter, "I do not say to you up to seven times, but up to 70 times seven." What I want you to understand here is this. Forgiving people is more than just a daily thing. Forgiving people is more than just a monthly thing. Forgiving people is more than just a yearly thing. Forgiving people, what Jesus is saying here, 70 times 7, really what Jesus is saying is forgiving people is a constant walk in life of forgiving. In other words, this, it's not a monthly thing, it's not a weekly thing, it's not a daily thing, but what it is, it's a lifetime application that we need to apply to our life. And see, what happens is this. When we don't forgive people and we don't walk in the spirit of forgiveness, we stay bound. See, picture it like this. God has this door right here. Picture a door next to me. And by this door, it says either forgive or not forgive. But if you forgive, you get to walk into the door. Okay, but if you don't forgive, you get stuck at the door. Meaning you don't get to walk in. In our life, when we don't forgive and learn how to walk in forgiveness, guess what? We get stuck at the door. And what's behind the door? Well, you don't know until you learn to forgive. What's behind the door? You don't know until you come into a place in your life and say, you know what? I forgive that person. They may have wronged you many ways, come on. They may have hurt you many times. And it could be the same person over and over and over that's wronging you and hurting you. But yet God says we need to still learn to walk in forgiveness. So back up a minute. Think about this for a second. Think about this. The door is there. And you have a choice to make. Your choice to make is, am I going to get stuck at the door or am I going to push through and learn how to push through my unforgiveness so I can walk through the door and walk into the blessings of what God has for me that was behind the door. So a lot of times, even as Christians, believers, how many believers I got out there? Come on. How many times do we get stuck at the door? Versus how many times do we actually walk through the door? And so that's why it's important to understand something, that forgiveness is a lifetime application that we need to apply to our life. Listen, I'm going to preach a message about forgiveness. I guarantee you, when I get done preaching here, something is going to try to hit me hard to make me be in unforgiveness. But I'm going to have to learn, walk through forgiveness. Why? Because I just preached about a door that I want to walk through. In your life, you will leave here and something will happen and you'll remember Pastor Donnie talking about a door, whether I'm going to walk through it or whether I'm not going to walk through it, but I'm going to choose to walk through and have forgiveness in my life. Title of my message is this: Fighting with Forgiveness. Because it's something we fight with on a daily basis. Come on. If we could be honest, church, we fight with this on a regular basis. In our lives, we fight with forgiving people. In our lives, we fight with forgiving our boss, forgiving our spouse, forgiving exes. We fight in forgiveness at all times. But yet we know that that's the thing that God wants us to do, is learn to forgive people. Jesus walked through it. Jesus did what we need to learn to do. I don't know anybody that's been more beat up. I don't know anybody that's been more disrespected, spit on. I don't know anybody who's been through what Jesus has been through, but yet he says, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they've done. But at times it's hard for us to say, help me forgive them. In my life, I had to walk through some forgiveness. There was a time in my life where I was in a hard place, and there was a time in my life where I needed this extra money because I was doing a job and I was working hard to get this job done, but yet I got robbed from doing the job and never got paid and lost a lot of things in my life. Walking through that kind of forgiveness was not an easy thing, especially when the person claimed to be a brother in Christ. And seeing them in church over and over and over. Oh yeah, y'all sitting there like, forgive, Pastor. Okay, you do that. There was things going through my mind. There was thoughts. I'm going to be real. There were some thoughts going through my mind as he's lifting his hand. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Thank you for what you're doing. I want to run over there and beat him up. But I knew I had to do the right thing. If I could be honest with you, it took me a long time. It wasn't an overnight thing. There was a lot of things that God was crushing and moving in my spirit so I can come into a place to learn to forgive and learn to walk in that forgiveness. And even today, we're challenged in it. Even today, we step forward into it. It's hard. It's not an easy place to be. But yet, it's the right. Everybody say, it's the right thing to do in our life. I love it. Martin Luther King Jr. says it like this: forgiveness is not an occasional act. It is a constant attitude. I believe this, church, if we can get in our minds and in our hearts about constantly learning to forgive people, I believe God can do so much more with the body of Christ. I believe we went and walked in so much offenses. I believe we went and walked in so much issues. I believe we went and walked through so many different things because why? We're learning to forgive people just as Jesus forgave us. And again, I'm not playing this down. I don't know everybody's situations here. Matter of fact, I don't know anybody's situations here. I know mine, but I do know this, that if God can do it for me, God can definitely do it for you as well. So tonight, I want to give you a few things about forgiveness that I believe if you can get a hold of these things and apply it to your life, it will change you forever. The first one is this, if you're taking notes. The first one is this: stop keeping score. Stop keeping score. This is not a competition. This is not a football game. This is not a basketball game. This is not a sport athletic game. This is life. Stop keeping score. People will hurt you. As a matter of fact, you will get hurt by people in church. But when you learn to forgive and learn that you don't have to walk in unforgiveness, God will set you free. So don't tally up the scores. Whoop, this one hurt me. This one hurt me. This one hurt me. This one hurt me. Why do that? That's not going to do anything in your life. Matter of fact, here's what it's going to do. It's going to cause sickness in your life. Did you know unforgiveness causes sickness? Did you know unforgiveness causes diseases and cancers? Did you know unforgiveness can cause things in your body that should have never belonged there? And actually, it is proven fact that statistics say these kind of things, and I'll get into those later. But unforgiveness can cause all kinds of issues in your life. I was talking to one of my brothers before church, and we were talking about how stress causes so much. At the same time, unforgiveness does the same. And so why walk in it when we know that we don't want to walk in this sickness and illness? Come on. Why walk in it when we know we don't want to walk in these things that are tearing us down instead of lifting us up? Why not walk in it in a way of saying, hey, I recognize this and I see this happening and I'm going to choose to forgive this person, or I'm going to choose to forgive this, because one, it's going to set me free. Two, it's going to set them free. And three, God really wants me to learn to forgive. Come on, church, if you believe that tonight. I heard a story that I was looking over and I read about. It was an interesting story of a shooting in Charleston church. In 2015, after 9 people were murdered at a church in Charleston, the victims' families shocked the world, not with anger, but with forgiveness. At the shooter's hearing, they stood up and said, I forgive you, not I hate you. They stood up at the hearing of the shooter in the courtroom and said, I forgive you. It didn't erase the pain, and what it did is this: it broke the cycle of hate. That's what Jesus meant when he said, stop counting. Forgiveness is not about keeping score. It's about breaking the cycle and living free and walking in the freedom that Christ has given you. So what does that mean to me? What does that mean to you? Here's what it means. Who are you keeping score with? Can you write this down? Can I ask you this question? Can you really be honest here in church tonight? Who are you keeping score with? Is it a parent, a friend, an ex from the past, maybe a coworker, maybe somebody you're sitting next to? And what would it look like if you crushed that scoreboard and tore it down and said, I'm no longer going to keep score of this anymore. Instead, I'm going to learn to forgive and walk in forgiveness that God has called me to walk into. I love what it says in Colossians chapter 3, verse 13. It says this, bearing one another and forgiving. Say forgiving. One another. If anyone has complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. In other words, this: God, Christ forgave us, we should forgive others as well. The next one tonight is this, if you're taking notes. No, it sets us free. See, when we refuse to forgive, we think we're pushing the other person away. Listen, this is a misconception. If I forgive you, then what you did to me is okay. If I forgive you, then what happened you're agreeing with and you say it's okay. This is a misconception of forgiving people. See, when you forgive people, you're not saying what they did was right. You're not saying what they did was okay. What you're saying is, I choose to forgive you because I'm handing you back over to Jesus Christ and letting Christ deal with your life. Because I'm not Jesus, and you're not Jesus either. But here's what we know. We walk in his image. We can talk in his word. We can speak his word into life. And here's what we can do. We can speak it over other people. Oh, and here's what we can do as well. Forgive people. Church, forgiveness doesn't mean what happened was okay. It means you're choosing not to be in captivity anymore. Who wants to be free in this place tonight? Come on, if that's you tonight. There's a story in the Word of God in Matthew chapter 18, verse 23 through 35, and I don't have time to go through the whole story. So I'm going to challenge you on your own time, read through the story. It's a great story, but I'm going to kind of paraphrase it. The story is about the unforgiving servant. A servant owed his king an unpayable amount of debt. Yet the king forgave him completely of what he owed him. But that servant refused to forgive someone who owed a small amount. When the king found out, he was furious. The man was forgiven a massive debt. In other words, the servant was forgiven of a huge debt that he would never be able to pay. But yet there was another one below him, another servant who went to him and he couldn't even forgive him for a less of a debt. But the man before him forgave him for a large debt. So here's this person who's been forgiven. His whole debt has been wiped away. But yet there's another person who just got forgiven, walked through forgiveness, but yet still was stuck at that door and couldn't forgive somebody else to receive the blessing later on. As a matter of fact, the scripture says it like this. Because he didn't forgive, he stayed stuck in prison. Imagine if he forgave. He could walk through that door of blessings. And there's times in our life that we're at that door, church. Come on. Some of us even tonight are right at that door and you're trying to make a decision whether I want to forgive this person or whether I don't want to forgive this person. You're stuck at that door. Can I encourage you with this tonight? Can I encourage you and give you a word of encouragement? Forgive that person and watch what God does in your life. Not only watch what God does, watch what doors God opens in your life. Some of you may have been looking for jobs. Some of you may be looking for a house. Some of you may be wanting to buy a new car, but you've been stuck because you haven't walked in to the blessings that God has for your life because you're stuck at the door because of your unforgiveness. And God says, forgive and let me run in your life and watch what I can do. Oh, man. Some of us are even ill. Diseases, cancers. Some of us has experienced these things. And it could just be, now I'm not saying this is every case. Hear me out. But it could be that there's something ill in your heart that's causing this stuff to come on you. Wouldn't it be easier to get to that door and walk through that door and say, I'm choosing to forgive this person, and I know it's going to be hard. Listen, I'm not saying forgiveness is easy. It was hard for me to forgive that person because during that time, I lost a lot of different things in my life. The only thing I didn't lose was my kids and my wife. Thank God that I didn't, but there was other things that I lost. House payments on cars, I lost a lot, but yet I had to learn to get through that door so I could learn to forgive. Wouldn't it be better if we could just get through that door? Could it be that the minute we get through that door, our body's healed? Could it be the minute we get to that door and through that door, that job we're looking for, God opens up? Because maybe it was your coworker at your last place that you had a hard time forgiving, and God's like, if you can't forgive this person, you're going to run into someone like that again. You're going to stay stuck. But yet if you learn to forgive and walk through that door, could it be that right when you walk through that door, you get that phone call for that job that you've been desiring and wanting? Could it be that if you get through that door, that blessing that God has for your life is there? Come on, church, what do you want to decide to do? Do you want to stay stuck at that door, or do you want to get to that door, and do you want to walk through that door and say, God, I'm coming through no matter what it takes, no matter what I got to do, because God, I know that you got plans for my life. Nelson Mandela said it like this: unforgiveness is like drinking poison and then hoping it will kill your enemy. Tonight, let's not drink that poison. Tonight, let's say I'm going to drink that water of forgiveness. I'm going to allow it to flow through my body. I'm going to allow God to flow in me and flow out of me. Tonight, let's choose to walk in a lifestyle of forgiveness. I love this story about Corrie ten Boom, survived a Nazi concentration camp, and years later, faced one former guard. She survived a Nazi camp, but then had to face this guard years later. Here's what happens as she faces guards. At first, it felt impossible, she said, to forgive the person, like asking someone to forgive you for crushing your world. But with Christ's strength, she reached out and forgave. She realized it wasn't about freeing him. It was about freeing her own heart from anger and bitterness. Did you know a lot of times when you free yourself with unforgiveness and you walk into forgiveness and freedom, you release yourself from anger and bitterness? After Corey extended her hand, she felt a weight lift off of her shoulders. A peace she hadn't experienced in decades. Forgiveness didn't erase the past or make what happened okay, but it released her from the prison of anger and bitterness she was bound to. A great man of God said it like this one time. He said, "When I forgive, I set myself free from the bitterness that wants to keep me bound." Don't you know the enemy wants to keep you bound? Don't you know that when you walk in this church, the enemy gets upset? Don't you know before you come to church and you don't gotta clap or lift your hands or look at me, I won't even look at you for this. But don't you know sometimes before you come to church, you fighting in the car. You're yelling at each other. You're talking about what you're gonna have for dinner. You didn't like it last night in the dinner. You're fighting about the kids. And then all of a sudden you walk through the door and it's like something different hits you. It's called the presence of God. But the enemy will do everything he can to stop you from getting through those doors. Here's why. He wants to keep you bound to your unforgiveness and your destruction instead of freeing you. Because God wants to set you free tonight. Ask yourself this question tonight. Who am I still holding a grudge to? Who am I holding a grudge against? Oh, come on, Christians. I know we got stuff going on in here. Pastor, I forgave everybody in my life. Oh, you're a much better Christian than I am. So ask yourself, who are you holding a grudge against? Is it a family member? Is it a coworker? Is it your spouse even right now? Who are you holding a grudge against? Ask yourself. But then I want you to make a decision about that. And the decision I want you to make is this. Stop letting that offense control your life. Allow yourself to walk in the forgiveness that God's called us to walk in. Here's why. If you don't walk in the forgiveness, guess what? You're going to be controlled by unforgiveness. And if you continue to walk in offenses, guess what? You're going to allow that offense to control your life daily. And what's going to happen is this. You're going to daily get offended over and over and over and over, and then find yourself eventually walking away from God, walking away from church because somebody offended you over, over, and over, but instead learning that we need to walk through offenses, learn to forgive our brothers, learn to forgive our sisters, and do what Christ has called us to do and forgive one another. My next point is this tonight, if you're taking notes. No, it shows who God is. Word of God says it like this. Be kind to each other, tenderhearted, forgiving, say forgiving one another, just as God through Christ forgave you. In other words, this, be kind to one another, forgive one another. Forgiveness isn't just a nice idea. It's a glimpse of God's heart. It's not just something to preach about. It's something to live because it's God's heart. God wants us to forgive. God wants us to walk in the true freedom that he's called us to walk into. So in order to walk into freedom that God has called us to walk into, we have to learn to forgive. I was talking to God about this earlier, and he was showing me something. This year, there was a word for the church. It was year of what? Strength. Come on, say it. The year of what? And God was speaking to me and saying, people have not received that strength because they're still stuck in their unforgiveness. The minute they learn to forgive, I'm going to fill them with the strength that I want them to have in their life. Who wants the strength of God in your life? Come on. Come on, let me say it. Let me ask again. Who really wants the strength of God in your life? Then who do you got to let go of? Who's God tugging on your heart right now saying, you need to forgive this person? I heard a story many years ago. And this story was a powerful story about forgiveness. And in this story, and I'm going to read this story because I don't want to mess it up, but I want you to understand something. I want you to catch something in this story, and I want you to catch the power of forgiveness that takes place in this story. But it was about a man whose name was Brooke Douglas. It's a story of unforgiveness. And in 1979, a 16-year-old Brooks Douglas and his sister survived a horrific attack in Oklahoma, where intruders murdered their parents and shot them both. They tragically were left there dead. And they were left practically on a lifeline of being dead. But decades later, listen to this. Decades later, Brooks chose a different path. Instead of being in deep anger and grief, as any one of us probably would expect or would be ourselves, if we saw our parents and our whole family murdered in front of us, and then we were left for dead because we allowed somebody to come into our house to use the phone because they needed to make a phone call. That's how the story goes. Instead of, you know, being in deep anger and deep bitterness and just outrage and full of rage, he decides to take a different path. Brooks chose a different path. Despite the unimaginable pain, he forgave the men who attacked and taken his parents' lives. He didn't do it for them, he said. He did it because Jesus had first forgiven him. And he wanted to be free and live free from bitterness. Later on, Brooks went on to be and become Oklahoma's youngest state senator and years later shared his story in a film called The Amendment. The most powerful part of this journey wasn't the career of surviving the attack. Here's what the most powerful thing was about this. It wasn't about surviving the attack. Yes, that was powerful. Yes, that was great. But the most powerful thing was this. It was the choice to forgive, showing the world what God's mercy looks like in action for you and I. Forgiveness doesn't excuse the wrong. It doesn't erase the pain or make tragedy disappear. But here's what it does. It sets hearts free. Like Brooks, we are called to step to stop keeping score, to release bitterness and choose God's mercy for our life. Listen, when we do, we not only reflect his love, but we also experience the freedom he intended for us. Forgiveness doesn't excuse the wrong, erase the pain, but here's what it does. It will set you free as a person. Oh, Pastor, it's so hard to forgive people. You don't know what happened to me when I was younger. You don't know what happened to me tonight. You don't know what happened to me tomorrow. You don't know what's going to happen to me. I don't. But here's what I know. Jesus does. And Jesus has called us to forgive 70 times 7. In other words, walk a lifestyle of choosing to forgive. Come on, church, if you believe that. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 31 through 32 says it like this. Paul reminds us, be kind to each other, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, just as God, through Christ, has forgiven you. So here's a question for all of us tonight. I want you to think about this for a moment. I want to ask you this question, so if you're taking notes, you could write it down. The question to you is this: how do we actually fight with forgiveness? Let me give you some practical steps on this. Here's some steps for you. Stop dwelling on the bitterness you're carrying. Start asking the Holy Spirit to help you release it. Stop letting someone else wrongdoing keep you captive. And start forgiving, because God has already set you free. Oh, but Pastor, what's the benefits of this? I'm glad you asked. Here's the benefits: physical health gains. Did you know forgiveness significantly reduces stress-related illness? According to Johns Hopkins Medicine, anger and resentment activate the fight or flight response, leading to elevated blood pressure, heart rate, and suppressing immunity. By choosing to forgive, this stress responses calm down. Here's another one it does: mental and emotional well-being. Pastor is going to help me with that? Absolutely. Listen to this. There was a survey found that 80% of adults believe forgiveness boosts overall well-being. One study observed that forgiving individuals can neutralize the physical toll of stress, showing virtually no connection between high stress and illness, unlike those who struggle to forgive. Bottom line is this, church. If I can just say it like this and be honest with you, the bottom line is this. Studies show forgiveness isn't just for the soul, it's for the heart, the mind, and the body. Or you can hold on to anger, and it's like drinking poison, and it hurts you more than ever. Even science agrees with this. But what does God say? Forgive one another, just as Christ forgave you. Tonight I want to conclude with this. Forgiveness isn't easy, and in no way would I say that it's easy. The easy way feels like hiding in your anger and your pain, but that only chains you up to the past. Forgiving may hurt, but when we give it to God, healing comes and freedom flows. And His grace works in us and through us in the life of one we forgive. Forgiveness may hurt for a moment, but bitterness will change you for a lifetime. Let me say that again, because I want you to get this. You can write it down. Here's what I want to say. Forgiveness may hurt for a moment, but bitterness will chain you for a lifetime. Wouldn't it be easier to say, God, I'm going to forgive, instead of being chained for a lifetime? Come on, church, if you believe that tonight, you should walk in forgiveness. So tonight, I want to do something. Maybe as I was preaching this word and God was speaking to your heart, maybe as I was preaching this word, God was showing you some things in your life or some incidents or some things that may have took place or things that may have happened, and God is saying, I want you to forgive this person and I want you to forgive what happened. Maybe as I was ministering about forgiveness, and I know this is not an easy subject to minister about, but it's a powerful one, because when we can get this key and we can unlock this door, then we can step into so much more that God has for us. And maybe tonight you're in this place and you're battling with some things and you're saying to yourself, I just having a hard time to forgive. That's okay. We're going to work on it. But maybe you're in this place tonight and you're saying to yourself, I know that I have some unforgiveness in my life. And I know that I need to learn to walk in forgiveness. So What I want you to do is this, that I want you just to reflect on this for a moment. And I just want you to take a second. And I want you to ask the Lord this question. Is there anyone in my life that I need to forgive? Come on, church, press in and ask God that question. You could be a Christian for a very long time, but yet you can still press in and say, is there somebody or something I need to forgive? Maybe it's even yourself for something you may have done or caused to someone else. Maybe it was someone who offended you in an extreme bad way. Maybe it was a coworker. Maybe it was an ex-spouse who you thought you were in love with and they cheated on you and broke your heart and tore you apart. I don't know the situations, but you do. So I want you to take a moment and ask the Lord that question tonight. Is there anybody I need to forgive? Because you don't want to stay stuck there anymore. Instead, you want to be free. Here's what I'm going to do next. Is if you're in this room and you can honestly be real with yourself and true to yourself tonight and say, Pastor, there is somebody in my life that I need to forgive. Can you raise your hand right now all over this place? Pop your hand up all over. I'm seeing hands everywhere. Hands are going up. Just keep them up for a moment. Keep them up. If that's you, there is somebody I know I need to forgive. Yeah. Keep them up. Here's what we're going to do now. Is I have a prayer that I want to pray with you. Not over you tonight. I want to pray this with you, meaning this. I'm going to pray, and you're going to repeat after me. And what this is a prayer of forgiveness. And what we're going to do is we're going to forgive and release that person. Are those people who we raised our hand and said, I have someone. So again, if that's you, just put your hand up all over this place. If that's you, hands up all over. Tons of hands are going up. Here's what that means. Tons of us are stuck at that door. But yet tonight, we're going to walk through that door. So I want you to repeat this prayer after me. Lord Jesus, thank you for forgiving me. Today, I choose to forgive. I let go of the hurt. I release the bitterness. And I set them free. And I set myself free. Jesus, fill my heart with your peace. Help me walk in freedom. In Jesus' name, we all said, amen. Did you just feel the weight lift off you tonight? Did anyone feel the weight? Just raise your hand and feel the weight just lift off of you tonight. Yeah, hands are up. God just lifted that off of you tonight. Took you to a place of walking, learning to forgive. And now here's what we got to do. Walk a lifestyle of forgiveness. I want to take the next couple moments before I invite Pastor Teresa up. And I just want to make sure that everyone's all right with God in this place tonight. Here's why. I would hate to preach a message on learning to forgive and walk in forgiveness when that's the very thing that Christ did. He forgave us for all our sins so that we can have a place of eternity one day, but yet us not know who Jesus is. You might be saying to yourself right now, even in this place, well, I've been going to church for a long time. Good, I'm glad you've been going to church. And I want to encourage you, keep going to church. You might be saying to yourself in this place right now, even at this moment, well, Pastor, you know, I just prayed that prayer of forgiveness. Yeah, but we need to invite Jesus into our life. We need to have a relationship with Jesus, because here's what happens if we don't. If tonight was your last night here on earth, I have to be honest with you because I love you enough to tell you the truth and explain this to you. If tonight was your last night here on earth and you walked out of this room and a tragedy hit, an earthquake hit Southern California and wiped us out, or you got in a bad car accident and you end up dying, you did not have a relationship with Jesus, you would not make it to heaven. But we can change that tonight. And we can flush out the ideas and the thoughts of what being a Christian is, going to church, reading our Bible, lifting our hands in worship, being good people. None of that stuff is in the Bible that says it'll get you to heaven. What gets you to heaven is having a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. You coming into a place of surrender and saying, God, here is my heart. You have all of my heart and all my life, God. Here it is. So tonight, I want to give you one of the greatest invitations you will ever receive. And that's to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and personal Savior. I'm going to make it real simple for you tonight. Here's how it's going to work. I'm going to count to three. I'm going to go one, two, three. Bang, just like that. When you hear my foot go bang like that, all I want you to do is pop your hand up all over this room. Now, I know you're thinking, if I raise my hand, Pastor, I'm going to be embarrassed. Listen, you might be embarrassed for a moment, but you're not going to be embarrassed. But let's look at the trade-off. I'll be embarrassed for a moment or spend my life in hell for eternity. Tonight is your choice. It's your call. Pastor, you're kind of bold about this. Yeah, you know why? Because the enemy's bold about taking your life. And if he's going to be bold about it, then someone needs to stand in a pulpit and be bold and tell you the difference between heaven and the difference between hell. And I know we do a great job at that here at the Rock Church. But we can't force you to raise your hand. Your neighbor next to you can't lift your hand for you. Here's what has to be a decision that you make in your life. Now, I know some of you are thinking, you go to church and you're good, great. That's good. Keep coming to church. Keep being a good person. But let me explain something to you. Just because you did does not mean you're going to go to heaven at all. I've had conversations with people over and over about them being good people. And, you know, they feel like they're going to get to heaven because of that. Listen, you can't feel like you're going to get anywhere. You have to give your life and your heart to Jesus. Meaning you have to come into a place of surrender. Say, God, here I am. Not my will, but your will be done in my life. Could you imagine this? Picture this for a moment. Let me show you two different pictures real quick. I want you to get this. Image number one, you came to church tonight. Worship was powerful. There was a move of God. God showed up, was setting you free at the altar. Pastor Donnie preached the message. Pastor Donnie gave you a chance to receive Jesus as your Lord and personal Savior, but you were embarrassed to raise your hand, or you were just not interested in having him as your Lord and personal Savior. And tonight was your last night here, and you stood before him. You walked right before him. And he said this. Do you remember that church service you were in? You're like, yes. Do you remember that worship and the word and what God was doing in your, what I was doing in your life and what God was showing you? You're like, yes. But because you denied me, I have to deny you. So depart from me. I never knew who you were. That's frame number one. How about image number two? Came to church, had a great worship session. God showed up, healed your body, set you free. Pastor Donnie guy came up here, gave a message, gave an invitation, and you said yes to Jesus. And all of a sudden, your life ended tonight. But yet, you stood before God tonight. And he said, do you remember when you were in church? You're like, yeah, I remember. Do you remember when Pastor Donnie gave that invitation and wanted you to invite me into your life? You're like, yes, I remember. And I remember. And you raised your hand. And you're like, yes. He'll say, well done, good and faithful servant, because you receive me, I receive you. And I know you're thinking, why do I got to raise my hand? The Bible says this. If you confess me before men, then I'll confess you before my Father. But if you deny me, then I'll deny you. Tonight is your choice, it's your call. What do you choose? frame number one or frame number two. It's your decision tonight. Who should do this tonight? If you've never given God your whole life and your whole heart, who else should do this tonight? If you're one of those people who call themselves a Christian, but then became a lukewarm, what is that? Little in, a little out. Never full-heartedly sold out for God. Never fully hearted in for the things of God. Instead, you were in and out, token prayer, here and there. Bible says it like this in Revelations chapter 3. And here's the interesting part. He's speaking to the seven churches. And he's speaking to the church, meaning the people inside the church, not the people outside. But he says, when I come back, not if, there's not a matter of if. It's when I come back, I better find you hot or cold. Because if I find you lukewarm, I will vomit you from my mouth. In other words, says you're not going to make it into the kingdom. So tonight, if you're in this place and you've never given Jesus your whole life and your whole heart, tonight is your night for salvation. Tonight, if you're in this place and you're saying to yourself, Pastor, I'm lukewarm. I want to rededicate my life. I want to get right with God. Tonight is your night. On three. One, two, three. Bang. Anybody in this room. Anybody. Just pop your hand up. Anyone. It's your choice, your call. No one can force you to do this. It's between you and God tonight. I see a hand way back there. One. I got you. Is there any more? If that's you, just pop your hand up right where you're at. Won't embarrass him and I won't embarrass you. If there's any more, just pop your hand up right where you're at. Don't walk out of here not knowing. Walk out of here and make sure that tonight you have a relationship with God. If you're thinking about it, just be about it. Say, here I am. If you're in this place tonight and you're saying, I don't know, make sure that you know. If that's you, just pop your hand up right now all over this place. If that's you tonight, anyone else? I'll give you a few more moments. If there's any more, just raise your hand right where you're at. Anymore. God's tugging on your heart right now. He's saying, what are you waiting for? Just respond. All right, well, let's give God a praise for one wise person tonight. Here's what I'd like for you to do. Just stand to your feet. All of us just stand to our feet. And for that one person, I'm going to challenge you to do this. Since you raised your hand tonight, I want to invite you up to the front. I'd like to meet who you are. I'd like to shake your hand. I'd like to pray with you. We all like to pray with you as well. So if that's you tonight, just come on forward if that was you tonight. Or if anyone else should have came, just come on forward if that's you tonight. Come on. If that's you. If there's any more, just come on up. Come on up if there's any more. Just come on up if that's you. Just work your way up if that's you tonight. It's all right. Come on. Just work your way up if that's you tonight. Come on up if that's you tonight. You're saying, I want to give my life and my heart to Jesus. Come on, tug your neighbor and say, hey, do you need to go or not? Come on, I'll go with you. Come on up, man. Come on. Come on, brother. Come on. Come on up, bro. Come on up. Come on, if there's any more, just be bold to step out of your seat. Come on up. Come on. Spirit of God is still moving in this place. It's not done. If that's you, just come up. Don't look at your neighbor and say, should I go? Man, if you're feeling something, you should go. Come on up if that's you tonight. Give it a few more moments. Just come on up. Come on up. Come on up. Come on, if there's any more, just come up. Come on, if that's you tonight. Don't let the enemy keep you. Stop. Don't stop at that door. Walk through that door. Come on, if that's you tonight. All right. Man, you guys are awesome people. Great things. So excited that you were bold enough to step out and say, man, I need Jesus. It's going to change your life forever. So here's what we're going to do. We raised our hand tonight and we said, yes, I need Lord. Or we were just drawn up by the Spirit because we know that we need God. But here's what we're going to do is we're going to say a prayer. And in this prayer, we're going to invite Jesus to be the Lord of our life. And if you miss a word or two, don't worry about it. It's right here, man. It's all right here. So I want everybody, you guys, especially you four, repeat this prayer after me. And everybody in here, they're going to join in as well because we're all going to be family. All right? So, Father God, tonight I come to you and I thank you for the opportunity that I have to give my heart to you. Jesus, forgive me for all my sins. Cleanse me from all unrighteousness. Tonight, I am making a decision to follow you the rest of my life. Holy Spirit, empower me. Help me live my life as a Christian. Jesus, I believe that you died and you rose again from the dead. In Jesus' name. We all said, amen. Come on, it's got a praise. Put a smile on your face. It's a good thing. Today we gave our heart to Jesus, man. What a great day to remember something big. But here's what we want to do for you guys is we have some friends here. We have a discipleship program here. And it is an amazing program. Here's why. Tomorrow when you wake up or tonight when you go home, you're going to smell the same and look the same. But we want to give you a friend to help build you and help you become who Christ has called you to become. Right over here is my friend, Pastor Joel. He's a great guy. He's an amazing man of God. You're going to follow him. He's going to give you some free materials. And what he's going to do is he's going to connect you with a faith-filled friend. Somebody that's going to come alongside you. Listen, you're not going to be doing this alone. You won't be alone. Somebody's going to come alongside of you. And they're going to hold your hand. And they're going to walk you through this process, because there's been other processes that tried to walk through, but God's given you the right process. And my friend over here, Kathy, is going to get you connected. Okay? Bless you guys. Follow Pastor Joel.
Hi, my name is Pastor Joel. Hey, this is my question for you. Now that you've committed to Jesus Christ, how are you going to grow? We at The Rock want to help you out. We have an online resource called Welcome to Your Destiny. It is your next step to grow. Our mission here at The Rock is to help you grow into Jesus Christ. The Bible says to grow into all aspects of Him. As you read this little book, it's going to tell you what to do and how to do it. We encourage you, if you're ever in the area, please plug into one of our services and connect with one of our SPTs. We call them spiritual personal trainers to help you grow, to plug into this new family that you're now a part of. Our goal and God's goal is to see you fit, healthy, and mature in Jesus Christ. So welcome to the family of God, and God bless you.
Thank you for listening to The Rock Church and World Outreach Center. If this message spoke to you, please share it with us. We'd love to hear from you. You can find more information at www.rockchurch.com.